AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer back with you following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 42-10 win over the Wisconsin Badgers Saturday up in Madison, Wisconsin. Pretty complete performance by this Alabama team in week three. This was an anticipated matchup going back to the offseason. Maybe in some ways last week you could look at that performance against South Florida as a little bit of a look ahead mindset for Alabama with the struggles it had against a really solid USF team, but Crimson Tide had it pretty much all together for the first road trip of the Kalen DeBoer era, and it is a 32-point win for Alabama. Now a bye week coming up, and then of course SEC opener against those Georgia Bulldogs at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Should be a good one. We're not going to get too far ahead. I know there's that sort of eagerness to go ahead and start previewing Alabama, Georgia. We got time. We got a bye week coming up. You know, there's some things that this Alabama team still needs to address, especially from a health perspective. And I always wait to do these until after we hear from Kalen DeBoer. As much as anything, I like to get the injury update coming out of a game. And what we heard from Kalen was really a lot of to be determined with Malachi Moore and the apparent neck head injury that he left with there in the game on Saturday. The veteran safety, such a key part of this Alabama defense. So the bye week certainly comes in handy when you talk about injuries. I think Malachi, as we heard Kalen reference there in the post-game press conference, certainly going to be one of those guys. Quay Rousseau went out with a lower extremity injury. That did not look good in terms of him trying to get off the field. Really wasn't able to put much of anything on that left leg. Looked like he got rolled up on some friendly fire, perhaps. It's football, man. Guys trying to make play. Same thing for Malachi Moore on the red zone tackle that he and Keon Sab combined on down there inside the five. So tough stuff from an injury perspective for a couple of Alabama defenders and Quay Rousseau, Malachi Moore, a couple starters. So we'll see how that plays out going into the bye week and then into Georgia week as well. Also, we saw in the second half, Richard Young, the talented young running back, the number three in that five-back stable right now, he goes down with a lower extremity injury, was doing some nice stuff too early in the fourth quarter, a couple of impressive runs, and then he goes down, unfortunately. So the victory did not come without a price. Again, though, bye week should come in handy. We'll see how it plays out. When you think about Malachi and what he means to that defense, certainly that experience and then the physicality that he plays with too. Keon Sab with another solid performance in the win over Wisconsin. After Malachi went out, what we saw was Devontae Smith go to safety with Sab. And then Red Morgan was in there primarily at that Husky position, backfilling for Smith moving to safety. So some chain reaction there as it relates to these positions. Quay Rousseau at the Wolf. You already see a lot of Q Robinson. You saw Keanu Coote early in the game. I did a halftime spaces on the Twitter, by the way, for this game. A lot of this we talked about on that spaces show. But Keanu Coote, as projected somewhat, here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. We talked about this in the practice watch-along midweek and how the first half absence of Justin Jefferson against Wisconsin could benefit some of those Wolves, some of those guys beyond Quay Rousseau and maybe Q Robinson, because what we had seen through the first two games was Jahad Campbell move up to some edge in some obvious passing situations with Jefferson coming on at inside linebacker to join Deontay Lawson. But without Justin Jefferson in that first half, we saw Campbell stay at inside linebacker, and we saw Keanu Coote early in the game out there with Quay Rousseau. Q Robinson does it again. Three straight weeks, three sacks. This time a strip sack there in the second half. So he continues to produce at a pretty good clip. And the defense, I thought, really did some good things. Takeaways, that's, we hear that all the time from Kane Womack. Run defense, so-so, I thought. Got pushed around a little bit. The concern you have with Georgia and even Tennessee, because I don't think people talk about the run game enough with Tennessee. They talk so much about those vertical routes and those wide splits with the wide receivers, and I get that too. But Missouri's going to challenge you on the run, on the ground. Tennessee's going to challenge you, and certainly in 2 weeks, Georgia is. So I thought Tim Keenan continued to be that Tim Keenan that we've seen through the first two games. He was disruptive at times, took on double teams, maintained the gap, didn't give up the integrity of the interior of the defensive front in the process. Need another guy or two to go along with him. And I know LT Overton, if you're just talking about defensive linemen in general, he was good again, very disruptive, racked up the production points in the win over Wisconsin. But I'm talking about another big, big. I'm talking about Jaheim Otis. I'm talking about Damon Payne. Now, I'm talking about James Smith. One or more of those guys that consistently joins Tim and being a guy that is disruptive and tough to get out of his gap when he's in that role as well. Tim Smith, he's kind of a hybrid in this defensive scheme. You know, he plays some in, but he'll go inside. He did draw a hold on Wisconsin in this game, one of those penalties for the Badgers on Saturday, but just need more guys that show up consistently to go along with Tim Keenan. Again, Overton was very good, I thought, but need some more. Playing a lot of guys still is Freddie Roach and this defensive staff. I thought the linebacker level, kind of what you expect from Deontay Lawson and also Jahad Campbell. You had that third and long there in the first quarter, and this was after, obviously, a big play in the game, Tyler Van Dyke, the Wisconsin quarterback, going out. You know, you had some shoddy tackling there from Deontay Lawson and maybe Keon Sabb, and it got Wisconsin into that fourth and short that they went for, but then Deontay stuffs that thing, so more than made up for that situation. And, you know, Justin Jefferson was available in the second half, so we saw some of him, but we saw young guys. When this thing got out of hand there, saw Caden Jones, saw, and I like him. That's a good-looking young linebacker, the North Carolinian. Justin Okoronkwo was in there to go along with Caden in the fourth quarter. He saw a lot of young defensive linemen as that situation moved along there in the second half, but the guys up top, the guys that are going to have to be good in 2 weeks against Georgia, they need to take another step, and they need to do it here pretty quickly. So offensively, how about more Jalen Milroe with the touchdowns? Five more touchdowns for Jalen Milroe when you talk about accountability between the run game and the passing game. Three touchdown passes, and they were all beauties, weren't they? The first one to Ryan Williams down the right sideline, perfectly on the money. The corner route right there before the end of the second quarter going into the half to Jeremy Bernard was excellent. And, you know, I just thought he was on it. Now, a lot of it, I think you can go back to this offensive line being whole, right, for the first time. When you think about Caden Proctor being in there at left tackle for the first time this season, Elijah Pritchett at right tackle, and then you got that interior trio together. I thought regardless of the protection that was on, Alabama did a nice job. There was a time or two where Alabama wanted some things as far as routes. There was a particular instance where they were running mesh with the crossers on a third down. I think it was a third and four or so. And Wisconsin was in an underneath defense. It was basically middle of the field coverage. They just were not going to give that up. And so they had the right coverage on. And that had more to do with that situation than the protection, because five on five, even when Wisconsin ran some games with some twists and things like that, I saw guys like Jaden Roberts account for it nicely. I saw Elijah Pritchett account for it nicely at the tackle position. So very encouraging from that standpoint. And you know, you kind of gotten to the point with the run game where you're going to expect it to perform at a high level. Now, again, stakes are going to go up over the next month or so where that is concerned. But it was, again, you know, Alabama averaged 5.3 yards per carry on the ground. Jam Miller, you know, Jam Miller and Justice Haynes came into this game, both of them averaging 8.7 or higher. Jam goes for 71 yards on just 9 carries, so that's 7.9. He keeps that going. Justice, the same thing, just 2 carries in the game, but they went for 17 yards. And again, just really, really good run game efficiency with Jalen throwing in 14 carries for 75 yards and 2 more touchdowns. The red zone efficiency continues to be at a very high level when this team gets those opportunities. 2 more red zone touchdowns for Alabama in the game Saturday. So that's 9 red zone touchdowns in 3 games by my math. So that will definitely work. You had both of those red zone touchdowns, and this is a continuing theme too. Jalen Milroe scoring both of those with his legs. So good stuff really for Alabama. I thought penalties were improved. Certainly you go on the road, you're a little bit concerned about that, especially with an offensive line that has sort of been fluid in terms of putting the same group out there together. But I thought those guys were good. I think both the guards, Booker and Roberts, were called for false starts, but otherwise it was good enough. Defensively, as far as penalties, still didn't like a couple there in the first half that really extended some Wisconsin drives, including that first possession that ended with the 53-yard field goal. That was Damani Jackson again early in the game. So you'd like to continue to clean that up. You're still new in some ways on that back end, so you're going to have to live with some things. You once again had some opportunities for an offense, an opposing offense in the vertical passing game. You kind of survived a couple of things. You had Devontae Smith in coverage on one in which, Locke, the backup quarterback that was in the game for Wisconsin, couldn't quite hit on it. So you got to continue to improve there, because these are all areas, again, where Georgia, Tennessee, Missouri are going to challenge you in a way in which you won't have been challenged through the first 3 games. So as always, we open it up to you in the comments and the chat. And if you'd like to check in, we would certainly love to hear from you. Sully462 checks in. Good afternoon and roll tide. Sully says, how you doing, Sully? Dexter Wright checking in here. He says, Justin Jefferson plays hard even when he's not making the actual play. And I think Dex, that's that presence that I like from Justin Jefferson in this defense. And I think it's needed in this defense. I think Deontay Lawson, Jahad Campbell playing at a high level, they do a lot of great things. I think what Justin Jefferson gives you is a physicality that in today's game is sort of a fleeting concept at the linebacker position, because you have to be so athletic. We've seen inside linebackers go from 245 like Rolando McClain down to about 220, 225 now, because you got to be able to run, got to be able to play in space against these offenses. But absolutely, if you can still have that guy out there like Justin Jefferson, it's beneficial, no doubt about it. And that's also including the special teams as well. See Bama checking in. He's got a roll tide for us. Dexter back here wants to comment on Robbie Oots doing a nice job on blocking. He did on the touchdown run by Jam there early in the third quarter. Both he and Elijah Pritchett on that right side got some sort of washdown, washout blocks. I think, you know, for the tight ends for Alabama, it's still sort of an adaptive situation. Maybe not so much for Quavis, because he's played in this offense at Washington under Kalen DeBoer, and that was a sight for sore eyes, wasn't it, to see a tight end down the middle catching a touchdown pass. Beautiful ball from Jalen. Nice grab by Quavis. You know, had tight end touchdown production a year ago, but that was Amari Nyblak, who is very much a sort of hybrid player. But as far as tight ends in this system, that's what you like to see, because that was that flood concept out there that Kalen DeBoer is a big fan of. You get the one tight end crossing across the field. You get the second tight end kind of just running right down the seam and hopefully that space that's created. And then you get another receiver that's kind of running that intermediate flat with the back running the short flat. And you flood that side of the field and you really can put defensive backs in conflict. You had a safety squat there, it looked like, on the hash mark with the wide receiver at the intermediate level. Quavis just kept running. And easy touchdown for Alabama there in the second half. So it's good, too, because you're putting more stuff on tape like that that makes you tougher to defend and tougher to prepare for. And you know, it gives Georgia something to think about because you're starting to get into this situation with this offense, and I love it. I think the more you get Jalen Milroe involved with the design runs, especially in the red zone, the higher the ceiling is for this football team with Jalen at quarterback. And so no problem with that. But, man, when you can start doing things like that, throwing the football in the outer red or in the red zone, that's big. That's another step for the offense, and you just hope it's something that you continue to see here on a consistent basis. What about James Burnett today, man? The Aussie. If that wasn't his best game at Alabama, I'm going to pull these stats up too, by the way. We'll share screen with him. Here we go. How about that? How about that for some director? Is that some Scorsese type stuff right there? How I pulled that trick. James Burnett, 4 punts, 53-yard average, a long of 64. And he had 3 of his 4 end up inside the Wisconsin 20 and also 2 that were 50-plus, and none of those punts were returned. So when I tell you he had a 53-yard average, you know, sometimes it can be a 53, and it's not really a 53. I guess what right here, it says 49 now. I guess a team punt. Regardless, when you're averaging half the football field every time you punt it and there's no return, net yardage is what it's all about. I mean, I've seen guys average 53, but they either outkick their coverage or they can't hang it up there. And so the return yardage, the net is not very good. The gross looks great, but then when you get to the net after the returns, it's not very good. But for Alabama, and James Burnup on Saturday, it was very, very good. So what are your concerns for this team now through 3 games? I know you got to have something. You've got to have some type of concerns here. Let's see right here. Let's get back into the comments with Dexter, who asks, Travis, the passing game still seemed lackluster. Some are speculating it was designed to be vanilla. What do you think? I don't know. If it was necessarily vanilla, I'll say this. I love DeBoer being aggressive there late in the second quarter because tweeted this during the game and we talked about it on Spaces at halftime on X or Twitter, whatever you call it. That's a point right there, especially after Wisconsin missed the field goal late in the half, where you know Nick Saban is taking that to the half, right? Not going to tempt fate right there. Even with 3 timeouts and around 40 seconds to go in the second quarter, you're up 14-3, getting the ball, coming out to start the third. No way you're going to go for anything in that situation, but DeBoer did, and all it took was 2 plays, man. And Jalen was on the money. Ryan Williams, once again, just electric. What about Ryan Williams, too, when he goes back there and returns a punt? I mean, you're like me, right? You thought about 5 yards into that return, you were thinking, well, damn, he's just going to run this thing back too. And he still went for 20 yards. And you felt like, he can house these punts just as easily as he can these deep balls from Jalen. But yeah, I was happy about the end of that second quarter because it wasn't all Ryan Williams either. And it wasn't just Jalen running. It was Jalen hitting some big time throws. The first one to Ryan Williams and then the corner route to Jeremy Bernard was perfect. And Bernard, he stemmed that thing and took it to the corner so sharply that the DB lost a shoe when he came out of the route. I mean, that was good stuff. And the protection, as I talked about earlier, the protection was outstanding. I thought offensive line play in general was exactly what you needed to see, especially with, again, what's on the horizon. Caden Proctor, I thought it was a start for Caden that you like, even when you go to a baseball game, right? You go to a baseball game and you leave and you look at each other and you go, you know, I didn't even really, umpire must have been good because I didn't really notice anything with the umpire in the baseball game. That's the best umpire. When you leave the park and you don't remember any situation involving the umpires, that's a well umpired game. And I thought it was that kind of game for Caden Proctor. And you had some movement in that offensive line, even in the first half. I mean, can we find a helmet for Parker Brailsford and also Jalen? You know, Jalen goes out. Ty Simpson has to come in. Brailsford goes out. Geno Vandermark comes in at center. That was the possession that was capped with the touchdown pass to Ryan. Brailsford was in there for that. I mean, these damn helmets, man. But yeah, I don't know if it was vanilla. I thought it was pretty well executed. Do I think there's more in the tank? Yes. I'll say this. The touchdown pass to Cuevas, especially, that looked like DeBoer stuff. That's that that's that flood concept where it looks like three receivers are on a almost like a train track. And one goes out, the other one's behind them, and then the back comes out behind those two. And you essentially got them running on the same side of the field vertically. And you put one of these DBs or one of these linebackers in conflict, and that's where you go with it. And that's when Cuevas was wide ass open for the touchdown. Hey, let's see here. Sully asks, am I going to have to start closing my eyes again with the field goal kicking this year? Sully, you know, on three predictions here on Ryer on YouTube on Friday, we predicted that Graham Nicholson would attempt his first field goal as a member of the Crimson Tide. We didn't say he'd make it. We just said he would attempt it. And look, it was 46 yards. I thought the ball was well struck and just stayed out to the right on him. So I'm not going to go ahead and tell you to just start closing your eyes. What you like to see is all these extra points after these touchdowns, but similar to some other areas of this team that we talked about with what's coming up on the schedule, you definitely want Nicholson splitting the sticks from 45 and in. Yeah. Chime in. Don't be shy. Just like Sully said here. And also, if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel right here, go ahead and hit that subscribe button for us right now. If you wouldn't mind, we would appreciate a thumbs up. There's a thumbs up right there. If you could hit that like button, that would help us out tremendously as well. And there's also a notifications bell there. So when you subscribe to the channel, hit the notifications bell as well. That way you are alerted to whenever our content drops right here on the channel. Lance with the, he's cutting through the BS. He's getting right to it. Did I win the cap? We did have the score predictions contest. I don't know, Lance, if you correctly predicted 42-10. I'm going to guess that you're going to go ahead and tell me right here that you absolutely did. Hey, if you did, then you probably won the cap. But I've got to check on that. I got to go back and do some checking on that to get a winner. We're going to have second watch here in the next 24 hours on the channel. It's our review of the game. And then we'll also have Talking Tide on Sunday night with Chase Goodbrother, the Tuscaloosa News. So between now, Lance is honest. I like that. Look at that. I did not. Good for you, Lance. Good karma for you for being honest about that. We'll have a winner for you. We'll announce a winner for you. Sully says, Reichard got us spoiled. Yeah, but you know what? Will missed some kicks too. Will missed some kicks, but Will didn't miss many. And look, Nicholson missed one field goal attempt all last year. So he's already matched his season total from a year ago. So I don't know. Maybe it is time to panic if that's kind of how you roll. So a complete performance for the most part, some of those stats that you were probably most interested in this game. And we'll start right there with penalties. Because, again, the two false starts on the interior offensive line, that was it. No holds. You also had two defensive penalties. You had an offsides on Tim Smith. You also, on that same play, had a pass interference on Xavier Brown. So two of the corners responsible for two of the flags on Saturday. You know, something else I liked from the game too was that once Alabama did go to the twos on offense, they kept running the offense, right? Ty Simpson, 4 or 5, 30 yards. Like to see that. Like to see the twos get their opportunity to run the offense. And, you know, it's like Kalen talked about in the post game today when he was asked about, you know, the situation up front and will Conform be moving forward and Geno Vandermark able to jump in there. And I agree with him 1,000%. And a lot of times it seems to show up more, maybe even at running back. It's that situation where, why are they playing these guys in this situation? Or, you know, don't they have too many of these guys maybe in this particular area? You never have enough, and you can never play these guys enough, especially on your offensive line, because it can happen really, really quick. So there in the second half, you're seeing Will Conform be at right tackle. You're seeing Vandermark in there now at right guard. And then from there, you saw Olasalainen come on late, just kind of working guys in there. Miles McVay at a tackle, Rock Montgomery at a guard, and kept running the offense and doing it well. You know, some of those younger receivers, what about Rico Scott catching a couple balls late? Caleb Odom in there. You know, I saw Bubba Hampton out there at the wide receiver position. Running back, kind of out of necessity probably, but I think you were going to see Daniel Hill at some point. But with Young going down, you needed to see more of probably Daniel Hill, because depending on Young's status moving forward, your third back might very well be a true freshman in Daniel Hill. So that's some valuable opportunities, man, to get those guys some work. Also, you talk about stats that matter. Instead of being -3 in turnover margin this week like you were last week, you were +2. And Malachi, obviously, a big part of that. With the hit on the football there to force the turnover. And that's the type of stuff that Kane Womack wants to see. And we saw it earlier too, or we heard it from Kalen DeBoer in the post game, that he still thinks the takeaway potential for this defense is immense. Here's Nick Altesla. My favorite play was the long pass to the tight end. You can tell that play was excellently designed. It reminded me of something Kiffin would scheme up. Yeah, we talked about that earlier. If you go back and watch Washington last year, that was something you saw a good bit. So that's the encouraging part of it too. I think part of it is Kalen and Nick Sheridan have obviously adapted what they do to what they have at Alabama now. Never could you sort of underscore that more than with Jalen and his legs. But then you start to see some things that are kind of tried and true to what they do in their system. And that play to Quavis, I think that was part of it for sure. David Dalrymple said he picked it 38-13. That's pretty damn good, David. You know, I thought the game, talked about this on 3 predictions yesterday. I thought the game was going to be reminiscent of like 2011 Penn State up in College Station. That was a 27-3 game in the fourth quarter. Penn State scored late, or fourth quarter, kind of a throwaway touchdown to make it 27-11. Or even Alabama Cincinnati, the first time Fickell saw the Crimson Tide as a head coach. A couple, 3 years ago there in the Cotton Bowl in that college football playoff semifinal, that was 27-6. The thing is that this offense is just so explosive. So it has the ability, whether throwing the football or running the football with the backs or the quarterback, to score in some pretty big bunches. And you know, that was a big advantage for Alabama going into the game. Explosive play potential. That was something else we talked about on 3 predictions. And you know, Alabama came into the game with 6 plays this season of 40 yards or more. Added one more to that, the 47-yard ball to Ryan Williams late in the first half was the longest play of the game for Alabama. But Alabama also had 6 more plays of 23 yards or more in the game. And then when you look at, let's say, Wisconsin, Wisconsin did not have a play longer than 25 yards. Had the ball to Will Pauling against Keon Sabb. Got Keon caught up a little bit there in coverage. It was. It played out that way. Now, look, has Wisconsin got dogs or dudes like the ones Georgia are going to bring to Bryant-Denny Stadium in a couple Saturdays? No. But you took care of business in a fashion that you were expected to. If you didn't, then you would, this would be a different show right now. If it was like last week, again, with Georgia up next, and you put your first five out there finally, yeah, we probably wouldn't be joshing and grinning probably as much. As always, appreciate everyone joining us here live on Ryer on YouTube. We're going to have continuing coverage of this one. We're going to have second watch for you coming up here in the next 24 hours, probably the next 12 to 16 in all likelihood. We're going to have Talking Tide with Chase Goodbread coming up on Sunday night right here on Ryer on YouTube. So don't miss any of it. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Hit that subscribe button. Give us a like if you don't mind. We'd appreciate that as well. Turn on those notifications. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. Sit back, relax. You get to enjoy a full late afternoon and evening of college football, knowing that your team absolutely took care of business up in Madison, Wisconsin. That's a pretty good feeling, isn't it? You get the stress of your game out of the way, and then you still have like two or three windows of college football taking you to the early morning hours of Sunday. With that, thanks once again for joining us. Travis Ryer wishing you the best of a Saturday and Saturday night. And until next time, so long, everybody.